In Romans 12 and 1, I want to read a very familiar verse here that we're all quite familiar with. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I feel like the Lord's just been burning some things in our heart. And I was thinking about this thought of presenting our bodies to the Lord, a living sacrifice. You know, the Lord is wanting a sacrifice this morning of our life. And He's wanting us to present ourselves to Him, to do His will, to go where He wants us to go, to look at the things He wants us to look at, to look only at the things He wants us to look at, to be pleased in the way we present ourselves to the world. You know, this morning, the Lord, He says, present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, to reasonable service. This morning, I want to look at some that have presented a sacrifice to the Lord. And I was thinking about how so often, through the centuries of time, people are the same. You know, we are the same kind of people that people have always been. Only the work of God in the heart and life can change that. I thought about how that through at the ages of time, people have offered to the Lord what they thought would be acceptable. And yet to God, many times it was not acceptable. I know many times we love to preach things and do most of the time. Very encouraging. But the Lord's been dealing with my heart. And I want to give us a few challenges today. That we present ourselves to the Lord in a way that is reasonable and acceptable unto God. He says to present ourselves a living sacrifice. The things we do, the will of God in our life, that we follow that. That it is the thing, the driving force within our life. The will of God, that we complete His will. And that it isn't our will that we're doing, but it's His will. This morning, I want to look at Genesis 4 and 2. You know, in the very beginning, we find sacrifices offered to the Lord. And we see here a little story I want to read. We're all familiar with this. And she bare his brother Abel. This was Eve. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. You know, that sounds pretty good. Cain brought an offering to the Lord. Seems to me like that's pretty commendable. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know, they both brought an offering unto the Lord. And the Lord accepted Abel's offering. Abel brought an offering according to the way God told him to. He brought an offering of a lamb, of blood, a sacrifice. And Cain, he brought an offering of what he had, some of the fruits of the ground. But the Lord told Cain, he said, he didn't have respect unto his offering. And Cain was really upset about that. And the Lord said, why are you wroth? If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? You know, God wanted to accept Cain's offering. He wanted to for Cain to find his smile of approval upon his life. And I think about this morning, about our lives today. God wants to smile his smile of approval upon our life. He wants our life to be filled and guided by his Spirit and the love that he has to be in our life and in our heart. But you know, many times we bring an offering to the Lord of what we think. Cain brought an offering to the Lord, not what he said, but what Cain thought. And the Lord had no respect unto his offering. This morning, the Lord told Cain, he said, if it's not acceptable, then sin lieth at the door. What is sin? A transgression of the law of God. And the Lord looked at Cain's offering and he told him, sin lies at the door if it's not acceptable. And you know, Cain could have turned, I believe, right there and said, oh, God, I really want to offer an offering in righteousness. I want something that you can accept and that you can put your approval upon my life. But Cain didn't do that. I want to read a few other places and look at some of the things, how that God accepts only obedience. Why did he say sin lieth at the door? Because it wasn't the way he said to do it. You know, God accepts obedience. He loves obedience. He loves to smile on lives. He loves to smile on our lives this morning. But you know, it's only going to be when our lives are in obedience to him, that we have presented ourselves to his will, to do the things that he wants us to do, to live in his presence, to live an honest and an upright and a wholesome life before God. This morning in 1 Samuel 15, we find another story here. Seems like a pretty good thing, but we all know the story about Saul. And starting at verse 13, how that Saul, the Lord had told him to go, I believe it was the Amalekites, and the Lord had told him to destroy them all. And so Saul went down, verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? What do you mean, Saul? You say you've done the will of the Lord. What is this bleating of the sheep? And I told you to kill them all. I told you to get rid of all of it. And I hear it. And Samuel said that. Samuel said, what meaneth this? Verse 15, and Saul said, They have brought them. He kind of sidelined the blame, didn't he? They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. You know, Saul said here something that's amusing to me. He said, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. We did everything else. We just didn't do all that you told us to do. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, I will tell thee what the Lord said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. This was the word of the Lord to Saul. You go and you destroy them until they are utterly consumed and leave nothing. And he said, when you was little in your own sight, you know what? Saul, there was a day that they went looking for Saul to be king of Israel and they could not find him because he was hidden in the stuff. He was hidden. He was so small in his own sight, he was hidden. He didn't even want to be king and they wanted to give him all that power and all that honor. Saul didn't want anything of it. He was little in his own sight. He only wanted, Lord, I'm not very much. I just want to be one of your people." And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way of the Lord hath sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." "Oh, but," he said, I have done what the Lord told me to do. And in fact, I brought the king back." And what did the Lord tell him? Very plainly, "You destroy it all. You destroy that king. You destroy those sheep and oxen." But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Saul, you could offer and you could give and you could do many great things, but I want to tell you something. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen to the voice of the Lord, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. I just want to give us this word this morning. My heart has been in fear. I want to tell you something. Saul lost his place here. God wanted him to be king. He wanted his sons to be king in his stead. He didn't plan on David being king. He wanted Saul to be king. He said, "I would have, was it not this place," or there was two places, "I would have established your kingdom forever. I would have done that." That was another place maybe where it talked about where he offered the sacrifice and he wasn't supposed to. 28. And Samuel said unto him, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." You know, the Lord planned on that for Saul. And I think this morning, the word of the Lord from Samuel, he said, "You stay here, I'm going to go see what the Lord says." You know what he came back and he said? "Obedience is better than sacrifice." He says, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." This morning, I just want to challenge every one of us. We're not any of us past this place. If we get a little bigger in our own thoughts than the Lord, in our own eyes, we'll take our own way too. And we'll find ourselves, "Lord, I need your presence. I want your presence this morning. I cherish the presence of the Lord. I love his presence. I love his speaking to my heart. It's worth more than what this world has to offer. It's worth more because it gives us an assurance that one day, it'll be well. It'll be well with the righteous even here." You know, this morning, I want to look at another place in Acts 5. We're all familiar with this as well. You know, this morning, God loves sacrifice when it's right. When it's in obedience, he loves sacrifice. And he despises sacrifice. He despises sacrifice. He doesn't accept it when it's not done in obedience to the will of God. In Acts 5 and 1, I want to read another little story we're very familiar with. "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price." I felt like the Lord just gave me the thought, the full price, the full price. But these people, they sold something and it was theirs. They didn't have to give it. Peter told them that. But they said they would, and they didn't follow through with their word. And it says here, they kept back part of the price. "His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? You didn't have to give it. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. She lied as well. You know, we're people too. We've got to keep ourselves clean. Our sacrifice has to be clean. It has to be right. What we bring to the Lord, we cannot have something that He has told us not to have. It goes on to say, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. You know, I know this is heavy this morning. It's heavy on my heart too. I will tell you, this morning, folks, God wants all of us to be careful in our life. We're all people. We can all err just like they did. We're no different in person than the rest of these folks. We can think our own thoughts and offer our own sacrifice. The first scripture we read was a challenge to us to offer ourselves to God, a living sacrifice, that His will be our will, that His thoughts be our thoughts, that the things He hates be the things that we hate. God wants our life to be like that this morning. It is the sacrifice of our life that He accepts this morning. In 2 Peter 1, listen to the example that the Lord gave unto us this morning. 2 Peter 1 and 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, when God looked on Christ here, He spoke those words, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, the Lord wants us to give a sacrifice of our life in whom He is well pleased this morning. We know that's not really something that we can do in ourselves, but we can present to God the perfect sacrifice. We can give Him our life and our heart in such a way that God is pleased to dwell with His holy fire in our heart. The fire of the love of God that reaches out to everybody. The fire of purity that loves the pure things of God. The fire of God that quenches out the works of the flesh in our life. You know what? God wants it to be that way. And we're people. And we have to watch ourselves, every one of us this morning. There isn't anyone past it. We've got to watch ourselves all the way. You know what God said of Jesus? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, this morning I think about the song that says, when thy soul the perfect price hath paid, God will send the holy fire. I love that song. God wants to send upon our life The fire of His Spirit working within us that's unquenchable by the things of this life and by the things of this world. And all the coldness that we see all around in the world. They don't call our nation a Christian nation anymore. Coldness creeping in, creeping in. The Lord wants fire in the bosom of His people. The Lord wants fire in our hearts, alive and well for the things of God. When we provide the Lord the sacrifice of our life, of our will, to do those things that He wants us to do, to live close to Him, to follow Him when the world beckons, come over here, you can do this, you can have more. I want to tell you, God wants to give us of His Spirit. It is something that truly satisfies the soul this morning. Jesus set the example for us. Oh, I think about how that the Lord wanted to bless Saul. Oh, He said, I would have. He was planning on His children, His sons, through the generations, having the kingdom. But He couldn't do that. The Lord wanted to bless Ananias and Sapphira. But He was not able to do that because of their works, because of their lives that they had, because of their deceit. You know, the Lord wants us this morning. He wants to bless our life and our heart. Sometimes when things get a little dull at times, I start seeking the Lord. Lord, I got to hear from You. I want to know Your voice. I want to hear from You. Lord, I need to get closer. You know what? You start putting aside a little food. You start searching after, and you find Him, and He's precious to your soul this morning. Proverbs 21 and 2. Listen to the words of the Scripture. And He said, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. This is the Lord telling us this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But you know what? Says, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To Cain, it was right. He was very angry. I brought an offering to the Lord, and he didn't receive it. He was very angry about that. He was right in his own eyes, but he wasn't right in God's eyes. And God wasn't going to put His approval on his life for that reason. You know, I was thinking about the Scripture in Psalms. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. And I thought about the thought, how can we be right in our own eyes? By taking heed thereto to our own ways. That's how we can be right in our own eyes. By taking heed to our own ways instead of the ways of the Lord. The Lord wants to bless our lives. He wants to prepare us for an eternity with a pure and a holy God. And He wants that in our hearts and lives. We're people, folks. We've got to watch ourselves all the way. We'll think we're doing just fine in our own ways. And the Lord isn't accepting it at all. In 1 Samuel 15 and 22, we read, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience to the Lord is what He requires. He's looking for our life to be laid down for Him. A sacrifice, He says, acceptable, and which is our reasonable service. You know why it's reasonable? Because we're His. We're not ours. We're not our own. We're His. He made us, and we're His workmanship. The Lord wants to produce in our lives. In 1 Peter 1 and 13, another scripture. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. 1 Peter 1 and 13. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord wants to reveal Himself to us in our life in a wonderful way until it becomes a revelation. You ever seen somebody with a revelation of something? They can't quit talking about it. Something God gives them. And He says here, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You know, this morning I was thinking a little about that, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The Lord says, as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust. What were we formerly? Did we not want the things of the world? The things that the world can buy and have and do and all of those things? It's in the heart of man. God has to purge that out of us. And he says, don't fashion ourselves according to that. But as he which hath called you is holy, pure, clean, he said, you be that way too. I want to encourage us today in all the manner of life to be holy in all of our manner of conversation. I was thinking about the world today is full of unholiness, and they're offering it to the Lord. Full of unholiness in the way we deal with people. Not honest. You know what? Ananias and Sapphira were not honest. That was the problem. They lied, and they knew they lied. I was thinking about how that we live in a world full of people that are not conscientious. I deal with a lady sometimes on my taxes and things, and she will make little statements like, you know, we live under grace. We live under grace. We do. We live under the grace of God that makes us able to be right, to be honest, to be true, to be pure, to be careful in our conduct, in the way we present ourselves to the world. You know, that's part of what God, when we present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, it is that we sacrifice all of ourself and what we would be like. Everybody's different and they have different things that tempt them. We have different things that we would be in sin. I will tell you, we have to live a careful life, or we'll be that way too. It takes a real walk with the Lord and a carefulness. Lord, I want to see that day when I can say with Paul, my title is clear. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Won't that be a day when we get there? It's going to be worth the cost that it cost us. The sacrifice sometimes is more than what we think in our own mind. Sometimes it's more than what we would offer to the Lord. I want to read a few more scriptures in Malachi 1, starting at verse 10. And all of us are probably familiar with this, or most all of us. Malachi 1 and 10. And he says here, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, we're the heathen this morning. We're not Jews by nature, by bloodline. We're not natural Jews. But he said his name would be great among the heathen. I hope his name is great in all of our hearts this morning. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. And you just look at it, it's contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye have brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and boweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. Listen to this. He said, cursed be the man that offers that. The curse of the Lord is upon that thing. He said, why? For I'm a great king. saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. I'm a great king, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the one that made the planets, the earth, the heavens, all that is therein. He made that. He said, that's why. That's why you offer to me. That's why you walk in humbleness before me. That's why you don't offer your own offering. That's why you don't offer me something that's sick. That's why you don't offer me a sick life. You don't offer me what you've got. You offer me what I ask, your best. You offer me the best. You offer me the best of your flock. You offer me those things that I accept. Over in the third chapter, listen to this. Just 3:1, a few verses here. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. There's hope for us today, isn't there? Because of this. He said he's like a refiner's fire. He'll take our life, and he'll put it in his fire, and he'll bring out some good, clean gold. And he said here he's like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to allow him to be able to work in our life and purify our life. He wants us to allow him, no bars held in my life, Lord. I want to do all your will. And he wants to be like, use his fuller soap. A soap that cleans like, I suppose at that time, no other. Clean our lives. The Lord wants to do that. He wants us to offer him a life that is pure and that is holy and that is acceptable to him. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Isn't that wonderful this morning? The Lord wants to give us, he wants to purify us, that the offering of our life he can look on, and it'll be an offering in righteousness. It'll be something that he can look at and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that he can look at and be pleased with. Every one of us at these times, all of us need to. Lord, your word, it's heavy. It's heavy to me. I'm in search of myself. Lord, I want to know that things are well with my soul. You know, this morning, just want to leave us with those thoughts. The Lord wants to purge. He wants to make white. He wants to purify. And he wants his people to be tried. To be purified. That's a lot of what that word means. He's going to put you in the furnace, and he's going to purify that. The Lord wants to do that. We don't want to go in the furnace. We don't want to do anything like that. We want our life to be happy and easy and all those things all the time. The Lord wants to purify our lives. He wants us to offer an offering to him in righteousness. When we say praise the Lord, he wants to accept that and to love that and not to say, why are you saying that? Why are you worshiping me in a way that is unacceptable this morning? The Lord, I believe, loves us. I know he loves us. He wants our life to have an odor of a sweet smell. He wants to accept the offering of our life. But I will tell you something. It's going to be, as the first verse we said, if it's acceptable to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's not going to do for us to hold our lives in our own and do our own thing and want our own ways and then expect him at the end to just sweep us in. It's not going to happen like that. He said, a living sacrifice. Our lives are going to have to be, every one of us is going to have to be a sacrifice to God. Our life is going to have to be about God. Lord, I want your will as the center of my life. Every one of us, it's going to have to be that way. If we take our own way, it's not going to be acceptable to the Lord. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That you might, and this is the scripture in Malachi, that we might offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness, an acceptable offering, something that he can be pleased with and love and put his spirit upon that life and cherish that one and be cherished. You know the Lord, and he goes on to say, which is your reasonable service. Wow, that's reasonable. I look back at the Old Testament times and I see all the things God required of them. It seemed unreasonable. It was against them, the Bible says. But but that was what their life was all about, God. The things they did. You know, our life has to be that way today. It does. Every one of us. Just because we know some things don't keep us in God's favor. Our life has to be a living sacrifice, holy, separate from the world, from the things the world loves and cherishes, the things that they feed on and do. And so much of the world feeds on unrighteousness and impurity and unholiness. And the Lord wants us to turn from that and be pure and holy and careful in our lives. He wants his words to live through us. God is a holy God. We all recognize and accept that. He said for you to be holy as I'm holy. Amen. Let's pray that the Lord would help us each one. We want to make heaven our home.